Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How Europe Underdeveloped Africa by Walter Rodney is a landmark work of political economy and historical analysis that examines the long relationship between Europe and Africa through the lens of power, extraction, and unequal exchange. Written from an explicitly anti-colonial perspective, the book challenges narratives that attribute African poverty primarily to internal shortcomings. Instead, Rodney argues that underdevelopment is not a natural condition, but a historical process shaped by slavery, colonial rule, and the integration of African societies into a global capitalist system designed to benefit Europe. He traces how labor, land, minerals, and markets were redirected to serve external interests, while African institutions were disrupted or reshaped to support domination. The book also connects economic outcomes to culture, education, and state formation, showing how material extraction went hand in hand with political control. Widely cited in African studies, history, and development debates, it remains influential for readers seeking a structural explanation of global inequality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, redefining development and underdevelopment as a single historical process. A core contribution of the book is its insistence that development and underdevelopment are linked outcomes of the same global system rather than separate stories happening in different places. Rodney frames underdevelopment as a relationship. One society advances through mechanisms that limit the autonomy and productive capacity of another. This approach pushes readers to evaluate African economic conditions, not as isolated failures, but as results of integration into international trade and finance on unequal terms. The argument encourages attention to who sets the rules of exchange, who controls technology and credit, and who captures profits from production. It also challenges the idea that growth indicators alone explain well-being, stressing that development includes the ability to control resources, plan for social needs, and build institutions that serve the majority. By treating underdevelopment as historically produced, Rodney opens space for questions about accountability and repair, including how colonial borders, export-oriented economies, and dependency on foreign capital continue to constrain choices long after formal independence. Secondly, the slave trade and the reordering of African labor, society, and production, Rodney emphasizes the transatlantic slave trade as a foundational turning point that reshaped African societies and strengthened European accumulation. Rather than depicting slavery as a tragic but temporary episode, he argues it had long-term economic and demographic consequences that altered labor availability, security, and political structures. The removal of millions of people, along with the violence and instability associated with raiding and warfare, disrupted agriculture, crafts, and regional commerce. Communities were pushed toward defensive organization, while some elites became tied to external trading networks that rewarded capture and sale of human beings. Rodney also highlights how the slave trade supported industrialization abroad by providing coerced labor in the Americas and generating profits that fed European commerce, shipping, and finance. In this framing, the slave trade is not only a moral catastrophe, but also a mechanism that redirected African labor power outward and weakened conditions for endogenous development. The topic invites readers to connect population loss, institutional fragmentation, and distorted incentives to later vulnerabilities during the colonial era. Thirdly, colonial economies built for extraction rather than balanced development. The book examines colonialism as an economic project structured to extract raw materials, secure markets, and maintain political control, not to diversify African production or raise living standards. Rodney describes how colonial administrations oriented infrastructure such as railways, ports, and roads toward moving minerals and cash crops to the coast, often bypassing local needs like interregional food distribution. Taxation, forced labor, and land policies push households into wage work or cash crop production, reducing subsistence security and narrowing economic choices. Colonial firms and metropolitan governments captured value through monopoly privileges, pricing power, and control of trade, while Africans were frequently confined to low-wage labor and restricted enterprise. Rodney also stresses the damage done to indigenous manufacturing and skilled trades when imported goods displaced local production and colonial policy discouraged industrial competition. The result, in his account, was an economy dependent on a few exports and vulnerable to price swings, with limited technological transfer. This topic clarifies why post-colonial states inherited structures optimized for external profit rather than internal development planning. Fourthly, education, culture, and governance as tools of domination and dependency, beyond economics, Rodney analyzes how colonial power shaped knowledge systems and governance to maintain dependency. He argues that schooling often trained a small intermediary class for administrative roles while devaluing African histories, languages, and technological traditions. This produced social stratification and a mindset that equated progress with European models, making it harder to imagine development strategies rooted in local priorities. In governance, colonial rule centralized authority to serve order and extraction, frequently undermining participatory institutions and manipulating ethnic or regional divisions. Rodney links these political choices to later challenges: bureaucracies designed for control rather than service delivery, and states pressured to protect external commercial interests. Cultural impacts also appear in his critique of how colonial ideology presented Africa as backward, providing justification for intervention and shaping international perceptions that persist in aid and investment narratives. By treating culture and education as part of political economy, Rodney broadens the explanation of underdevelopment to include how beliefs, curricula, and administrative systems can reinforce unequal power relations long after colonial administrations depart. Lastly, from independence to neo-colonial constraints and the search for liberation, Rodney discusses the post-independence period with attention to continuity. Formal sovereignty did not automatically dismantle the economic structures and external dependencies established under colonialism. Many new states relied on exporting a narrow range of commodities, imported manufactured goods, and faced limited bargaining power in global markets. Rodney links these constraints to foreign ownership, debt, and the influence of multinational corporations, arguing that political independence can coexist with economic subordination. He also considers internal class dynamics, suggesting that local elites may benefit from maintaining existing arrangements, creating tensions between popular needs and state policy. Within this framework, meaningful development requires structural change, building productive capacity, expanding technological skills, and prioritizing social investment over extractive priorities. Rodney is also associated with a broader tradition of pan-African and socialist thought that emphasizes collective action, regional cooperation, and mass participation. This topic leaves readers with a political question as much as an economic one: what strategies can break cycles of dependency and create development defined by African peoples themselves? In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a structural explanation of African poverty and global inequality, including students of African history, development studies, political economy, and international relations. It is also valuable for general readers who feel unsatisfied with accounts that blame culture or governance alone and want to understand how slavery, colonial rule, and global markets shaped long-run outcomes. The benefit of reading Rodney is that it sharpens historical literacy and helps readers see how present-day issues such as commodity dependence, infrastructure patterns, education systems, and debt debates emerge from earlier power relations. That perspective can improve civic thinking, policy discussions, and even how one evaluates news about trade, aid, and investment. Compared with many development books that focus primarily on technical fixes or contemporary reforms, this work stands out for connecting economics to history and for insisting that underdevelopment has agents, mechanisms, and beneficiaries. Its enduring value lies in the clarity of its thesis and the breadth of its evidence-based argument, making it worth buying as a foundational text to complement more recent research and case studies. If you would like to support Walter Rodney, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.